Now, if you've got large shade trees and you can't reach the top, or you don't want to invest in the spray rigs and the cherry pickers and the long wands, there is a systemic annual tree and shrub insect control by Bonide you can try. Now, this isn't something you apply to your edibles. It's something that's a liquid application. You just mix as directed and pour around the root base. The roots suck up this insecticide, and it goes in through the tree. So when these insects munch on the tree thinking they're getting the food, they're actually enjoying their last meal. It's not something you want in your edibles. So again, this is for shade trees and shrubs. It's Bonide's annual tree and shrub insect control. You can find it throughout Arizona, Treeland Nurseries in Mesa, Summer Winds in Phoenix on Tatum, Christopher's Garden Lakeside if you've got tall pines on your second home somewhere around the White Mountains. Don't forget Christopher's Garden Lakeside. Bonide's family-made American products, their annual tree and shrub insect control for your large shade trees and shrubs. Let's get to Todd in North Phoenix, see how we can help him this morning. Go ahead, Todd.
Yeah, my neighbor has ficus, so we thought they were dying off. And we started doing more research, and it looks like they have white ficus or
the
flies.
The white fly, yes. Sounds like they probably do.
Is there a way of treating it, or do you guys have a Rosie certified person who can treat it? He has several of them, and it looks like they're just eating up everything, or the trees.
Yes, there are. You can contact the Rosie certified partner, Scottsdale Weed Control, and Ray Lopez, the owner, will be happy to get you in their schedule. He's quite busy right now treating a lot of white flies, you can imagine. So,
I understand y'all were in a meeting together about this.
Yeah, we had an informational meeting at the Agricultural Extension office this week, and there was Ray was there with some others, and he's sleep deprived.
He
really is tired. They're you know, with the wind, they can't do a lot of the foliar spray treatment, so they're relying on the drench. But yeah, he will do whatever is needed to try to get this under control. So give him a call.
And you know, I did not look that number up before we went to that because I was busy looking for the name of a tree. In November, you brought one of your estimators and certified arborists on staff at Integrity Tree Servicing. And he started describing this tree, and it was the commentary went quite hilarious because he had got out of his vehicle and he stopped it and he was like petting the tree, and it was next to a school, so the school's like, "Who's this strange guy out here making out to this tree?" That might have been over the top example, but what was that tree?
And the reason we ask is because someone called, didn't get on air. Remembered that and said, "I just got to know what that tree was."
So while you cover that, I'll look up Ray's number. Then we'll go to our next caller when we get all that wrapped
up. Well, the story goes, Steve loves this ghost gum eucalyptus tree. It's a ghost gum eucalyptus. It has a beautiful stark white trunk, and it's just they're very striking, attractive trees. And he jumped out of his car because he saw a beautiful specimen. And as many arborists do, he will pull over. My kids are always saying, "Dad, not again," because I see a nice-looking tree specimen I want to go check out, and I'll pull over. But Steve did that. He jumped out of the car, went to take a closer look at this tree, and it was on a school property. And the security quickly rushed over there and asked him what he was doing because he was out there. And he said, "I'm just admiring this tree." But anyway, that's a ghost gum eucalyptus for that caller who called in and wanted to know because they might want to buy it.
That was Roland, and he must have made quite an impression with that story because that was months ago.
November.
Yeah. Wow.
Great. Thanks for calling back in.
That it was a very fun segment. It was 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you if you'd like to join the conversation as we bring Matt in. Let me just follow up and finalize the Scottsdale Weed and Fertilizer, Ray Lopez, 480-941-9471. It's also ScottsdaleWeedControl.com. You can find him under the pest control category at Rosie on the House, as well as lawn fertilizers. But the reason y'all don't treat it is you're arborist. You're not structural pest control applicators.
Exactly.
And who is the board that regulates that?
Well, it's the Structural Pest Control Commission here in Arizona. They might go by another name now, but they you have to hold a license to be able to apply labeled products. By the way, there are some of those over-the-counter products. I believe somebody called in earlier, and you mentioned in your ad a few minutes ago, there are really great products that can be applied by homeowners. Just be sure to follow the label instructions carefully because they are labeled for specific pest problems. And you want to be sure that the pest you're aiming to control is on that labeled product.
Matt and Gilbert, welcome to the program. How may we help you?
Hey there, folks. I've got a newly planted Hong Kong orchid. It was planted last year. It looked real healthy when I actually planted it and went through a little of the frost problems we had over the winter. Now it's taken some time to actually get the foliage back, and it's got some yellowing of the leaves, and it's also got some sort of look like sap kind of at the leaf or the twig where the twigs come out of the branches, and it almost looked like dew, but you know when I touch it, it's sticky to the touch. So I'm wondering if the overall health tree is a concern, or if that sap's a concern, or what?
It's hard to know. Excuse me. It's hard to know exactly what the sap problem is. Although when trees are recovering from frost damage and there's some sun exposure, there can be some damage to the bark, and just that might just be a very common oozing of the sap out of these little wound sites. But yeah, it takes a while sometimes after these younger trees, especially are frost damaged, to try to replace the foliage that was lost. You know, when our frost sensitive trees get established after 5-8 years. It's nice because then they can bounce back a lot more quickly. But it's sad when we have a younger tree that's only a year or two old that gets frost damage because they really have to struggle to get back on their feet, so to speak, because the root system is still healthy in the ground, but there's no foliage above ground, and the root system will try to push out as much growth as it can. But it's difficult, especially with sun sensitive trees like your orchid tree that are really relying upon that foliage to cover to protect the interior bark from sun damage. So it's kind of a race against time to for that foliage to get back in place before the hot weather comes. So good luck with your tree.
Could you shade it somehow with Phoenix Tent Awning sells what they call agricultural cloth?
Sure, and you can buy shade cloth at hardware stores as well, which sometimes it's a 50-50 shade cloth product, and it allows some sunlight to get through enough to stimulate the new growth and keep those leaves healthy through photosynthesis. But it shades it partially just to keep the bark protected. You can also wrap the bark, but then that's a difficulty because then wherever you've wrapped the bark, no leaves can come out from those spots. But sometimes we'll just wrap the larger main stems of the tree that usually wouldn't be producing small branches anyway. And then as the branches get smaller above, then stop the wrap and let those leaf out.
Now, before we bring Robert into the conversation, who has recently transplanted a citrus, tell me about this brand new tree de tour or coop. It's the Valley Permaculture has for the last 7 years a chicken tour of people who raise backyard chickens in urban areas. Well, now they've got a similar thing, but a tour for trees.
Yeah, it's called Tour de Trees, and on Saturday, May 2nd, from 8:30 to 11:30, there is a free self-guided bike, walk, or drive event through the historical district along Central Avenue between Glendale and Missouri. You can start at any place along that tour. And it's a 2.5 mile real casual drive or bike or walk. And it's a really cool because along the way, you'll see six incredible trees, a weeping bottlebrush, a Montezuma cypress, a desert fern, a sweet acacia, an American elm, which is quite unusual. But we have several down in that central corridor, and then an Arizona sycamore. These are really magnificent trees and be kind of a cool, fun family event to grab your kids and your bikes. It starts up at the Living Streams Church at Glendale and Central, so you can park there, unload your bikes, and then take the bike tour and have a really good time on Saturday morning, May 2nd.
And just even that, I know you're going to look at these specific trees, but that Central Avenue, especially at Glendale up to even Northern and maybe even Dunlap Down, I mean, it's very
really
mature.
A lot of great trees. But I failed to mention that at each one of these trees, these six trees that you'll see on this tour, they'll be talking about a different aspect of tree maintenance.
So they'll have an arborist
will be there to talk about proper planting at the weeping bottle brush. They'll talk about tree selection at the cypress. They'll talk about right tree, right place on the desert fern, and then proper watering, proper pruning, and the benefits of trees. So it'll be a really great tree education along the way to celebrate Arbor Day.
If you'd like to join the conversation, as Robert is right now, it's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Robert, go ahead.
Hi, I live out in East Mesa, and I transplanted a navel citrus tree about 3 months ago, and it's obviously gone into major shock. I don't know if it's dead or if there's still some life to it. The leaves are still hanging on, and some of the branches are still limber. There's a few that are dried out, but there's some that are still green. Is it a tree I need to just pull out for that replace, or is there still a chance that it might live?
Yeah, it's hard to say. You know, time will tell. As you said, you know, you might want to protect it from sunburn if it's losing leaves. You know, drape it with a shade cloth just for the next couple of weeks. Be careful, not to overwater it. A lot of times, people are so concerned about this, the health of a tree that they've recently planted or transplanted, that they kind of kill it with kindness, if you will, by putting on too much water. So
it's already stressed from being transplanted.
Right, and you don't want to suffocate it.
Roots need to dry out.
The roots need to have oxygen as much as they need water. So you need to let the root zone dry out between waterings. And if there's dig down a little bit below the surface soil and make sure that if there's any moisture in the soil at all, there's enough moisture to keep those roots active. So, best of luck. It's hard to know if it'll make it or not. You know, it just depends on the number of roots that were saved during the transplanting process. And it's a good time to transplant. You hit the time of year right. It's just now a matter of whether it can make it through the next couple of weeks.
When you are working on cases like this or caring for trees, at what point do you look at it and say, you know what, get the chipper out and let's take a trip to the nursery. Time to replace.
Well, if you don't have leaf coverage, you know, in the next couple of weeks or months, of course, the tree is going to just die because of exposure to the sun. And you have to have leaves to photosynthesize to create the sugars and starches which are delivered to the rest of the plant. If you don't have the leaves, the tree can't survive.